wise men. This song, The Wise Men, was written by Brother Jerry Bond. Over from some scriptures here first. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, first of all. Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Maybe, Brother Joe, if we could get the portable mic, maybe if I could have one of the young men grab that and we'll hand it around. Maybe we'll get some more in here in a second. Okay. Brother Jesse, volunteer. Could you grab the portable mic? Okay. We'll need that in just a moment. Thank you, sir. Okay, Philippians 4 and verse 6. We'll go through it once together, and then if I could have one of you guys lead us in it. So I'll say the reference, and if we can say the verses in the reference. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Have one of you guys volunteer to read it through for us? Not everyone at once. Okay, Brother Ethan. Okay, if you got the mic. Okay, all right. Okay, thank you.
Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay, we have another one of you fellows volunteer. Okay, Brother Andrew. Okay.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7.
Okay, so we're thinking about the Ukrainian people, many of them having to flee, and what are they being able to take with them? Do they have a Bible with them? We know many of them have gotten saved since the Soviet Union has dissolved. So as we think in our time of need, when we need something to eat, when we need things, here would be some good verses to know. And then one of the other requests was 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. So let's go through this, and then if we could have a couple volunteers to lead us in. So I'll say the reference, and if we could say the verses in reference together. 1 John 1, 3 through 5. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1, 3 through 5. Okay, can I have a couple volunteers on that? All right, Brother Tim. Okay, we'll catch Caleb after that. Brother Tim. Okay.
1 John 1, 3 through 5. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Okay, and then Brother Caleb. Okay.
1 John 1, 3 through 5. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Okay, thank you. And then some more were turned in here, okay, this morning. Let's go to Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, 31. What if we had to be on the run tonight? How much scripture have we tucked away in our hearts? How many scriptures could we think of to guide us and comfort us and direct us? Isaiah 40, 31. Okay, I'll say the reference, and if we can say the verse together. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Okay, can I have a couple volunteers for that one? Isaiah 40:31. Okay, Brother Spencer, let's see if we could get the mic passed to him. And then we could have one more volunteer as well when he gets through, okay?
Isaiah 41:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Okay, thank you. Could I have another volunteer for Isaiah 40:31? Brother Steve? Okay.
Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31.
Okay, so as we think, I mean, what if we were on the run and so discouraged? What a verse that would be to have there to encourage us. Okay, then another one was Isaiah 41:10 that was turned in. Isaiah 41:10. Just over the page there. So I'll say the reference, and if we could say it together, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Okay, you could have a couple volunteers. Or that, any of you guys? Okay, Brother Jesse, okay.
Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Okay, and I have one more on that one. Okay. Brother Spencer, okay.
Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Okay. And one last one here turned in this morning, Habakkuk 3:18. Habakkuk 3:18. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Habakkuk 3:18. Okay. And we'll just say this one three times together. Okay. I'll say the reference, and if we can say the verse and the reference. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. Okay, so if you have verses, we'll try to get these online too. So if you want to practice them on your phone, safely anyway, while you're driving, we'll try to get those up there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these scriptures. I pray now that you would help us as we hide your word in our hearts. Lord, that it would be a comfort and a direction and a guidance to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2. And down to verse 18. looking at the church in Thyatira. Revelation 2:18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last, to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, this is a rather long one, isn't it, compared to what we have seen thus far with the churches. So, number one, a look at the Lord. With each church, we notice that the Lord gives a description of himself that is something that is needed for that church, that particular church, to take into account with their strengths and their weaknesses. So in number one is a look at the Lord in verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like what? Fine brass. So Jesus pictures himself to this church as the one with the eyes like unto a flame of fire. What would you think if you looked at someone and in their eyes there were flames of fire? In trouble, yeah. Like judgment. Judgment. It's amazing, isn't it, when you peer into flames of fire. We're going to look at some things here in a moment. It's a purifying effect. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, because as Christians, we are not going to face the fire, but our works are. We looked a little bit at this morning. In 1 Corinthians 3, 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. This is what is known as the judgment seat of Christ, where Christians will appear. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What's the difference between the first three things and the last three in relation to fire? Okay, the last three things get burned up. The gold and the silver are purified by, and we'll see that, purified by fire. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what? Reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. But he himself shall be what? Saved, yet so as by fire. So it makes it very clear. Believers at this judgment seat of Christ, if their work is burned up, they suffer loss, but we're not talking about salvation. It says, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So as we consider this, standing at the judgment seat of Christ, all of our works, and we looked at this a little bit, as I said this morning, our works going through the fire. And it says there in verse 13, the last part of it, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Can you imagine what a time that will be when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ? And our works, I don't know how this is going to be pictured, but as our works are being run through the fire of God. And as I mentioned this morning, I don't know, was that in Sunday school or the morning service? Anyone remember? Sunday school, okay. So I guess some of you weren't able to hear that because you're in other classes, but can you imagine just as our works are going into these flames, wondering if they're going to come out the other end? Wondering if we did those works in the right spirit, with the right motive? I wonder what's going to come out of there. You know, let's see. When I did that thing, when I did that service, that work, that when I helped somebody else, was I grumbling on the inside like, oh, why did I have to do this? Well, if I can remember that, when it comes out the other end, it's going to be ashes, nothing. But just imagine something that you did, that you just did with the right heart and the right spirit, and you really didn't think it was that big of a deal. But in a minute, we're going to look at Matthew 25. And just imagine coming out of the flames. There is this gleaming, sparkling crown. I mean, it'd be enough to take your breath away. As I said this morning, I saw a picture of Mr. Putin has a $700 million yacht. Actually, it's about the same length as the Ark was. It's 450 feet, roughly long. Same size as the Ark. I don't know about the width of it. But it was showing on there, he had a gold-plated toilet paper holder. And as I mentioned, it was like not just the roll and the edges or the things that hold the round part, but this had like a little, like I said, a little fender, like a motorcycle fender, but the width of the toilet paper roll, but it was gold and just gleaming, and marble, gold fixtures, and then it also has a deck with a, I don't know how many decks it has to it, but one of the decks is a swimming pool with a tile removable deck. I don't know how it removes, but and there's a swimming pool below it. They called the tile deck a dance floor, and I just mentioned at Sunday school, I'd like to know where the button is to push when they're out there dancing, to push the button and have the tile retract and just dump them all in the pool. But you just think about the extravagance of that. But I just thought about the gleaming gold. Just think about the things that we have done that we put no stock in, and we probably don't even remember, but it was something done in the pureness of heart, with the right motive, not wanting anything in return, just serving, helping someone as unto the Lord. Can you imagine in heaven just coming out of those flames, a gold crown sparkling, just, oh, I never dreamed that would come out of that deed. I didn't put any stock in it. You know, the things that we put a lot of stock in, Probably those are the things that will come out as ashes because, you know, we were patting ourselves on the back or something of the wrong sort. But what an awesome time that will be. It says in verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. We know there are many crowns that a Christian can obtain through right service. It's pretty amazing, the thought of it. So as the fire purifies our works and sees what they're really made of, what will come out of it? As I mentioned, it's just, you know, evolution is so foolish. It's so far-fetched and so impossible. But truly, a miracle will come out of the most humble deeds done for Christ. A miraculous, beautiful, gold-sparkling crown will come out. Notice in Psalm 12 and verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6. Once again, looking at the purifying effect of the flames. In Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified what? Seven times. So as they would heat up silver, the slag would come to the top. Now, if you've ever done some soldering, you know that solder in a hot puddle is like a mirror. In fact, the newer solders, you know, they've taken the lead out of them because they figured out that was bad for our health. So they're silver now, silver solder. And so you can kind of get the picture more of here of the silver purified. And so it's when it cools down, then you get the slag and the junk at the top. And like with welding, if you weld with an arc welder, the slag comes to the top. If you're a good welder and you chip off the slag, you just have some shiny metal like the waves of the sea, a solid metal. And if you're a welder like me, you probably have to hit that again sometimes because you chip the slag off and there's some bad spots in the weld. So it needs to be touched up more. But so the fire here, as silver purified seven times. So you heat up silver in the container, pull off the slag, heat it up again, cools down, pull off the slag. Seven times. And now you're looking at a mirror, something as pure as a mirror. So thou shalt, verse 6 again, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt what? Keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt what? Preserve them from this generation forever. So we're talking about the word of the Lord. It's God that preserves it. It's God that inspired it. It's God that preserves it. God gave his word through imperfect men. Was David perfect? No. Was Solomon perfect? No. Was Peter perfect? No. But God gave his pure word through imperfect men. And it's the same way with preservation. Do we think the King James translators were inspired of God? No. They were used of God. It was, you notice here, verse 7 says, this is talking about the scriptures, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God gave his word through imperfect men. God gave his perfect word through imperfect men. It's God, verse 7, that preserves his word pure through imperfect men. It's a work of God. No. We don't put the King James translators on a pedestal at all. We look to God for the preservation, just like when the Word of God was given. You know, sometimes in church history or sometimes even the study of Bible translations, they'll say, well, you know, the Council of Trent or this other council, you know, approved these books as canonical, as these books are the true canon of Scripture. God's people didn't have to wait for some group of men to tell them this was the word of God. Peter himself refers to Paul, the scriptures that he's writing, of which some things are hard to understand. So God's people recognized the scripture as it was being written as scripture. No group of men had to tell them it was that. It's like, read one of the apocryphal books. Look at the Book of Mormon. Look at the Quran. It won't take you very many verses or paragraphs to see, this is not the Word of God. It doesn't sound like the Word of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. The sheep don't hear the voice of strangers. They don't follow the voice of strangers. And you read some of these other spurious books that were written, they don't even sound like scripture. They sound like they were forgeries, trying to sound like scripture, but woefully inadequate. Notice also 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by what? The power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of what? Your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be what? Tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the fire is going to try our works, not us. And this is why we need to get a gospel tract out on this and some other literature, but there are so many people right now that are choosing cremation. Don't choose cremation. You know, our end as Christians is not fire. And so when we cremate a body, we are giving the wrong picture. We are not facing the flames. And some people say, well, does that mean that a Christian who perishes in a fire is not going to heaven? It has nothing to do with going to heaven. But it's the wrong picture. Just like baptism is a picture. Death to the old life of sin, resurrection to a new life in Christ. When we cremate a body, we're giving the wrong picture. Our end is not fire. Our works go through the fire, but not the Christian. So the bottom line is God's example. When God buried a body, what did he do? All right, well, I just told you what he did. When God had to deal with a body that died, what did he do? Well, Moses' body. God and Moses were the only ones up on the mountain. The Bible tells us that God buried Moses' body. That is the example of a resurrection, not destruction by flames. So you may say, well, I don't have the money to get a burial plot. And just pray about it then. Pray about it, but don't leave that wrong picture. You know, it was the heathen religions that burnt their bodies. It's like the Hindus, you know, they put the body out there and start a huge flame. That's not our end. Our end is with our Savior. So back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. So when Jesus appeared to his church here with eyes, verse 18, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. To look into Jesus' eyes and see flames of fire is a purifying effect. Purifying effect. In other words, There's no looking into his eyes and seeing fire. There's no eyes of acceptance. There's just eyes that see the truth, that burn away all the chaff in truth. And then verse 18 also says, and his feet are like fine brass. Now, what could that picture, that Jesus' feet are pictured like fine brass, what does that mean to his church? Well, notice with me in Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. And verse 24. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 34. 33, 24, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 33, 24. The Bible says, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be what? Iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, a bushing, many times bushings are brass, or bearings are brass. Brass holds up to heat and wear. It says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Brass dissipates heat. It holds up to heat. It's a good thing for lubrication. So verse 24 talks about let him dip his foot in oil. Then it goes on, verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Pictures the Lord's ability, as we think about in Revelation 2:18. It pictures his ability to continue on. And thinking of the church, and we don't have time to get into it tonight, our time's getting away, but what does God want for the church? God wants for his church to continue. We had a car into the body shop a week ago, and when it came back, Lucas mentioned that when he got going, there's a new noise in the car since it got back. And okay, so I rode with him and saw what it was, and it was disc brake pad that was pressing on the rotor. And so when you get going, it's squeak, 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 squeak. And I said, well, it's probably, I says, does it do that when you're out in the road? No. I says, do you feel it tug, tug, tugging? No. And I says, well, it's probably because, well, this car was getting sanded down. You have all this sand all over from the paint. And so you've got all this dust, and it's probably getting in everything, and it's probably making those disc brake pads, so they're not moving freely like they were. And so I said, it's probably just going to take some time, and probably driving through the rain helps, just wash all that out. But it squeaks. But God wants his church here, as we think about this, verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, God knows our days. None of us do we? None of us know how many days we have. But one thing God has for us is, he has a plan for our lives, and he will give us the strength to finish his will for our lives, whatever that is. Verse 25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So, as we think about that, may we be faithful to complete his task for us. In closing, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. And then what? Unmovable. And then what? Always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. Just think with me of that fire in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ. Just think, what have we done this last week? And in what mood, in what frame of mind, in what frame of heart did we do things? How many things did we do and complained? How many things did we do with a joyful spirit? As I mentioned to you last week about the flat tire, that wasn't a burden. When I heard what happened, I could only say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that flat tire. Now I have a problem with the van. I have a problem with it missing. I can't get figured out. So I'm just looking ahead. Okay, Lord, what do you have ahead with this that can glorify you? And I pray that we would think about that judgment seat of Christ. What with everything we do this week, if we're asked to do something, or if we see a need, if Jesus had that need, would we do it? Whatever it is, whatever you see someone else struggling with, or whatever you see someone could use a hand, what are we thinking? Or if someone asks for help this week, how will we go about it? Will we grumble and complain inside? I'm too busy. I'm this, I'm that. I don't want to do this, but I've got to. Just think of, okay, when that goes through the flame, it's going to come out a pile of ashes. But if I could look at every task as, okay, how do I want to see this turn out in heaven? This task, what is it really going to require of me? Is it really asking that much? Okay, how do I want to see this in heaven? Am I going to see a crown come out of this task or ashes? Let's be faithful to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that if there should be any here tonight that have not yet been saved, help them to realize that they will personally face the flames of hell. Not just their works, but they themselves. And in that case, their works will determine how much torment they will get at the great white throne judgment. Help them to realize that Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sins. Help them to repent and to receive you tonight. And for us as Christians, Lord, help us. Father, as we think about life, and then we think about the judgment seat of Christ, it's like going all of these years without being tested on what we have done or our motives, and then suddenly, final exam, the judgment seat of Christ. But then it's too late to go back and redo what we have done. Lord, help us to get a vision of just how important it is that we do everything in the right spirit with the right motive. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.